A reading from the book of Sirach. A kind mouth multiplies friends and appeases enemies, and gracious lips prompt friendly greetings. Let your acquaintances be many, but one in a thousand your confidant. When you gain a friend, first test him, and be not too ready to trust him. For one sort is a friend when it suits him, but he will not be with you in time of distress. Another is a friend who becomes an enemy and tells of the quarrel to your shame. Another is a friend, a boon companion, who will not be with you when sorrow comes. When things go well, he is your other self and lords it over your servants. But if you are brought low, he turns against you and avoids meeting you. Keep away from your enemies. Be on your guard with your friends. A faithful friend is a sturdy shelter. He who finds one finds a treasure. A faithful friend is beyond price. No sum can balance his worth. A faithful friend is a life-saving remedy, such as he who fears God finds. For he who fears God behaves accordingly, and his friend will be like himself. Verbum Domini. Guide me, Lord, in the way of your commands. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. In your statutes I will delight. I will not forget your words. Open my eyes, that I may consider the wonders of your law. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous deeds. Give me discernment that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart. Lead me in the path of your commands, for in it I delight.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundo Marco.
Jesus came into the district of Judea and across the Jordan. Again, crowds gathered around him. As was his custom, he again taught them. The Pharisees approached him and asked, "Is it lawful for a husband to divorce his wife?" They were testing him. He said to them in reply, "What did Moses command you?" They replied, "Moses permitted a husband to write a bill of divorce and dismiss her." But Jesus told them, because of the hardness of your hearts, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, no human being must separate. In the house, the disciples again questioned Jesus about this. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." Verbum Domini.
Notre Dame du Cap, priez pour nous. Our Lady of the Cape, pray for us. And greetings to our Canadian viewers and listeners, as we have the pilgrim statue of the Queen of Canada, Our Lady of the Cape, here present. We are delighted to have her present, together with the custodians, Dennis and Angelina Girard, who bring her to different locations to help people to grow in their Marian devotion, connected with Our Lady of the Rosary, as well as the miraculous medal, that this replica of the original statue really portrays that image on the miraculous medal. But it's quite a story. We've aired it on EWTN a number of times. And it's a beautiful shrine if you get to that area of Canada to be able to visit that shrine of Our Lady of the Cape. And there's a story also of the ice bridge, the Bridge of Roses, I think is the title of that film that was made, and how they wanted to move the stones across the St. Lawrence River. But there was no ice, it was a mild winter, but then suddenly these ice floats come down and they jam together just where it was needed so they could bring the stones over to build a chapel to Our Lady, and so that devotion to Our Lady and the Holy Rosary could grow as it did. So delighted to have Our Lady of the Cape, Notre Dame du Cap, here today. And we pray in a particular way that she will intercede for Canada. It was actually in 2017 that the Archbishop of Ottawa at the Cathedral of Notre Dame consecrated the country of Canada to Notre Dame du Cap, and this statue, this replica, was present there, as well as for our Holy Father's visit to St. Andrew de Beaupré in 2022. So may we all grow in that love of Our Lady in her Immaculate Heart. And today we're also celebrating a votive mass in honor of the Sacred Heart. You know, Michael Aquilina, he's written a book on friendship, which is the theme of our first reading today from the book of Sirach. And he wrote how it was evident in the Fathers of the Church. The title of his book is Friendship and the Fathers, How the Early Church Evangelized. And in the introduction, he gives an interesting history that was done by a sociologist by the name of Rodney Stark. Maybe you're familiar with his book. I know Brother John's read it, and he thought a lot of this sociologist, Rodney Stark. And he did this study about the rise of Christianity in the early days, the first three centuries, where we see these intermittent persecutions that happening, that if you were a Christian, that in sometimes in places was a capital crime. You could be put to death just for being a Christian and not renouncing your faith. And so Rodney, as a sociologist, is investigating, well, how did the church grow? Because we see that at the same time, this remarkable growth, something like 40% every decade, the Christian faith is growing in the midst of these first three centuries of intermittent persecutions. And a conclusion he comes to is that Christians were capable of friendship, even with people who are not of their faith. And eventually, these friends would become Christians through the good impact of friendship. He says, Christians converted the world simply by befriending the next door neighbors and persevering in friendship. He calls it the Christian Revolution. And so Aristotle, who's written about friendship as well, he said that when there's a distance between parties, such as between a god, so Aristotle lived before Christ, between a god and human beings, that's not possible. Friendship is not possible between a god and a human being because the distance, because of the unequalness of their parties. But then what happens is this Christian revolution where God becomes incarnate. He dwells among us. He takes a human heart. He takes human flesh. And it's a heart that beats with all of his divine love and all of his human love. And that many, and Our Lady in a unique way, responded completely with her heart to the love of his heart. And what does the incarnate word say? I have called you friends. So now God has made it possible to have friendship with him because he's come to dwell among us. Again, he's come with this human heart full of his divine love, full of his human love. And there were those like Our Lady that responded wholeheartedly to his love with all of their love. So Our Lady is in a particular way a special example of how we are to respond to the Lord's invitation to love, his open heart. So John 15:15, I have called you friends. Christianity didn't have force on its side, but rather the apostolate of friendship. Christians made friends that were different. There were those like Cicero who said, well, if you totally agree on everything, then you can be a friend. Well, for Christians, they could make friends with people even who were different, who had different opinions than themselves, because they could love them. Even our Lord could take a tax collector, quite different than himself, in fact, all the apostles, and call them to be his intimate friends. I've called you to be my friends. And so he also, Mike Aquilina, he talks about, you know, the modern social media where we can have friends, and we got hundreds of friends, but that they're not really intimate friends. Because we can create a virtual world where everybody agrees with us. But real friends surprise us. Real friends can challenge us at times by their example, by their correction done lovingly and respectfully, that a true friend leads us to holiness of life. I like something that a Sister Mary Eleanor wrote about friendship. She said, true friendship is rare indeed, as most of us must learn with sorrow. And yet it is very common among the saints. You know, Erasmus said of his friend, St. Thomas More, that he was a perfect example of somebody who was capable of friendship. And he was a friend with him for 20 years. So we find friendship, it's common among the saints. Why? Saints know how to love with understanding and forgiving love. So apart from that, if it's just going to be that we agree on everything, then as soon as we disagree, we're parting ways. Or you said something that offends me, I'm not going to forgive, we're done. But the saints were those who could forgive, who could understand, who could look with understanding. And Sister Eleanor continues, they are perhaps the only people who know the true meaning of friendship and realizing its worth, make the sacrifices necessary to be worthy of possessing it. So all genuine love has an element of sacrifice. And so saints are capable of sacrificial love. And because of that, they are capable of deep and lasting friendships. Finally, Sister Eleanor says, it's not difficult to understand the sudden and intimate friendships that arose between saints on the occasions of their first meetings. Holiness, as a rule, gives its possessor a keener insight into the hearts of others than is enjoyed by those who are not so close to the source of light and truth, the God who reads the innermost thoughts of men. So when you're close to the one who is light and truth, you have keener insights into others, and you can have deeper and lasting friendships. So Mike Aquilina, he lists a number of the fathers of the church: Ambrose, Augustine, John Chrysostom, Boethius, Gregory the Great, who are capable of friendships and called friendship very important. And St. Augustine wrote a lot about friendship. It was something very important to him. He even had a sign put on the refectory table that said, anyone who speaks ill of another is not welcome here. So he was a man who was capable of friendship. And he has this beautiful passage in his Confessions where he talks about friendship. He said, I admit that I readily throw myself entirely on the love of my most intimate friends, especially when I'm wearied with the world's scandals, and I find rest in that love, free of anxiety. This is because I feel that God, upon whom I cast myself without fear and in whom I find secure rest, is present there in this security of mine. I do not fear the uncertainty of tomorrow and of human weakness. What ideas and thoughts I entrust to a human being who is full of Christian charity and has become for me a faithful friend, I do not entrust to a human being, but to God, in whom this person abides, and who made him or her a faithful friend. So it's really in Christianity that we are capable of deep and lasting friendships because of God, who became incarnate, took on a human heart, and said, I call you friends. He invites us to this friendship. And the book of Sirach said this, a faithful friend is a life-saving remedy, such as he who fears God finds. For he who fears God behaves accordingly, and his friend will be like himself. Basil and Gregory, whom we celebrate on January 2nd, that it was said that they wrote that they urged each other onto virtue. That's what true friendship is. It's like we're exhorting, we're encouraging, we're supporting each other to grow in virtue, to grow in our own love of God. Finally, we know that our human friendships are beautiful, and especially when they are in the Lord, they are lasting. And it's just like the spokes of a wheel as they get closer to the hub, which is Christ, if you will, we're getting closer to each other. So those friendships become closer because they're in the Lord. and they're also eternal. There's a communion of the saints that already begins in this life for those who know the Lord, who love the Lord, that we're capable of friendship, of the sacrifices that are entailed, of the forgiveness, the understanding that's necessary for friendship. If you want to have friends, be a friend. Be one of those who is understanding and who listens. But as beautiful and as good as friendships would be, and of course, all of this is relatable to us in religious life, for marriage that our Lord spoke of in today, that we're capable of being a faithful friend that today's first reading spoke of because of the Lord. A couple is capable of being a faithful friend, being faithful to each other because of what the Lord gives us, the incarnate Word, who took on a human heart to love us with all of his love. So we know that friendship in this life is something beautiful and good, but we also know that it can be lost, sadly. But Jesus is the faithful friend who is always faithful. His friendship enhances all of our friendships. To be joined together in friendship with Christ, in fact, is the only permanent union, deeper than any other tie on this earth. To be called friends by our Master, to know him as the lover of our souls, to give him entrance to our hearts, is to learn the meaning of living and to experience the ecstasy of living. This higher friendship is given to us without cost. It's offered to us. His heart is held out to us. And what's Mary's response? Her heart to his. St. Maximilian calls that the summit of love. All of God's love and all of earthly creation's response in Mary, the summit of love. May Mary help us to grow in that friendship with the Lord and in that perfect love that leads to eternal love with God forever.